With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney. The next campaign finance reporting deadline for candidates in Montana's primary races for the U.S. House and Senate seats is Sunday. The reports will reveal details about how the candidates are funding their campaigns, but we already know that, with a few exceptions, the frontrunners are wealthier than most Montanans.
There are a number of ways that a candidate's personal wealth helps them get elected.
This is Edwin Bender, the executive director of the National Institute on Money and State Politics.
First, just being able to take the time to even consider running for office usually is a filtering process. A lot of people can't take time away from a job to run for office. So if you're wealthy, then you actually become eligible to run.
Having free time to run a campaign and being wealthy don't always go hand in hand. Teachers, for example, could use the summer break to campaign, or farmers winters, but they might not have the kind of seed money necessary to give initial momentum to their candidacy. Wealthy people also tend to have more name recognition and contacts that could attract donors to boost their campaign startup efforts. Bender and others who study campaign finance say candidates with big financial assets have an advantage in the wealth primary.
The wealth primary, which is if someone steps in early and they're a millionaire, then anybody who wants to run against them knows that they have to raise a whole lot of money, probably over the average raised by people in primary races. So just the wealth factor alone that a candidate can bring to bear is a filtering process in itself. You know, it limits competition, and it really a fairly corrosive factor in the whole money and politics world.
Five of the 10 candidates running in Montana's federal seat primaries have publicly disclosed that they have assets worth in excess of $1 million. And in early primary season, both a Republican and a Democrat dropped out of the race, citing fundraising issues and their inability to self-fund. In January, Democrat Tom Woods of Bozeman told Yellowstone Public Radio,
"It's about the numbers. There's a couple of folks in the race here who have raised about 10 to 15 times as much money as I have. And we're heading into a time in the race where you really have to start spending money on media. And I just don't have it."
Whoever wins the Democratic primary will face Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte, who is reportedly one of the wealthiest members of Congress. Looking at Gianforte's potential Democratic challengers, one candidate stands out as having the greatest ability to put their own money into a campaign. Financial disclosure forms show Billings attorney John Heenan has assets between $3 million and $11 million. Much of that is tied up in a law firm and a restaurant Heenan owns, but his financial good fortune has allowed him to loan $200,000 to his own campaign. That's the most self-funding of any Democrat in the race. It amounts to over 30% of all Heenan's fundraising. That's as of the first campaign reporting period, which concluded at the end of January. His campaign produced a 2.5-minute video ad.
"I have spent my entire professional career as a consumer advocate, fighting for people that have no political or financial influence. No voice."
In contrast, Kathleen Williams, a former state legislator from Bozeman, has the fewest reported assets, somewhere between $118,000 and $422,000. Williams so far hasn't donated any money to her own campaign. Grant Keir, another Democratic challenger, has raised the most money so far from sources other than himself, and he's personally contributed a little under 1% to his total campaign bankroll. But John Heenan's personal contributions mean he's got the biggest campaign war chest among Democratic candidates reported so far. Democratic candidate John Meyer of Bozeman appears to have not yet filed either asset disclosure forms or fundraising reports. In a primary election, personal wealth helps to get a campaign moving. But if a candidate is going to be successful in the June 5th primary and in the November general election, they need to fund their campaign with money outside of their own pocket. Here again is Edwin Bender from the National Institute on Money and State Politics.
Well, the people who have the most money or are incumbents win 90% of the time.
Using 2015 data, the Center for Responsive Politics reported that the median worth of members of the U.S. House is close to $900,000, and in the U.S. Senate, the median net worth is more than $3.1 million. Three of the four Republicans seeking their party's nomination to challenge Democratic Senator John Tester have disclosed seven-figure assets. Candidate Albert Olszewski, a Kalispell physician, appears to have not filed an asset disclosure yet. Former Judge Russell Fagg from Billings reports assets worth between $12 and nearly $42 million. Matt Rosendale, Montana State Auditor from Glendive, reports assets between $7 and $32 million. Both Rosendale and FAG report that much of their potential wealth is tied up in real estate. And while FAG has contributed $25,000 to his campaign, Rosendale hasn't donated any of his own money. Edwin Bender says a candidate's personal wealth can help a campaign get off the ground, but it can also work against a candidate's public image.
People who have wealth are often perceived, whether justly or not, as being arrogant, snobs, whatever. And a lot of people resent that. That is a very real trait that has to be confronted. And that's why the, you know, wealthy candidates who do run and want to win have consultants who say, okay, let's soften that image. But more importantly, you need to get on the road and you need to shake hands and you need to be viewed as just an everyday person.
When a candidate visits a local county fair, kisses a baby, talks about sitting down with regular folks having a cup of coffee, that builds a relationship, or at least the perception of relationship. And Bender says that can be more valuable than money. Montana election history shows that the more of a candidate's campaign war chest that comes from personal contributions, the less likely they are to win.
If you gave your campaign over half of your money, your chances of winning were 16%. And those are figures that are mirrored across the country.
In Montana elections since the 1990s, candidates' chances of winning decrease as the percentage of campaign funds they contribute themselves increased. The candidate who has contributed the most to his campaign in this year's primary races from any party is Republican Troy Downing. Downing has given his campaign $650,000. That's 75% of all of his campaign fundraising, as of the end of the last reporting period. His campaign is the most well-funded among all candidates, but unless Downing raises more outside money, recent history says he's unlikely to win. The National Institute on Money and State Politics' Edwin Bender says during a campaign startup, almost all candidates have to self-fund. But if a candidate continues dropping big money over the course of a campaign to fund their own political message, he says that's a good indication that their grassroots networking isn't going very well.
So in some ways, it gives you a psychological profile of the candidate themselves, one who values his ability to write a check and thinks that that's going to get him a win. That's the way to counter an effort where someone is out actually doing the hard work of engaging with the community. And maybe that lends you then to think about how good of a representative they're going to be if their solution is money, as opposed to talking to people.
While a winning campaign tends to be the one that raised the most money, the richest candidate isn't necessarily guaranteed a win, because the money that bankrolls a candidate tells a story about who values the campaign's political message and future, the candidate themselves or potential voters. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.